Well, we have a special treat for you tonight. First of all, I want to introduce and let you just say hello to Freddie Riggs. Freddie, why don't you stand up? And you all know Jeremy, of course, and he pastors down at Faith Worship Center in Bardstown, and doing a great work down there. God is just, they just celebrated 20 years, right? 20 years, amen. I hope I look that good after 20 years. We'll be in good shape if I look that good for 20 years. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to let Larry Mead, you all know Larry, and it's good to have him here. It's always good to have Larry here. This is like his second home. Well, it could be his first home if he wants it to be, and it's always good to have Larry. He's just a special, special individual. He's this church's first missionary that we've supported, and we've loved him ever since, and like I said before, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Larry and Dolly and his confidence in me. And he loves you. He loves you as a church, and I know that. But I'm going to let him introduce our speaker tonight, and let him greet you, just talk to you for a few minutes, and then he's going to introduce Andy to us, and we're just going to have church. Love you, Larry.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see. Now, that Banana Pudding Sunday is August. Is that August the 24th? Okay. At this point in time, I don't have any service scheduled. I don't think that's Sunday. And if I do schedule one, I'll try to get it close enough where I can get over here after that's over for the banana pudding, so be sure to bring it. Amen. It's always a privilege and an honor and a joy to see you, part of the family of God. And we have a special place in our heart for all of you. It's been a wonderful experience for us to be connected with you. And we say thank you for just your support of us and the ministry that's going on in India, even when we're not there, and the schools that we have and so forth. So we thank you for your help, your support, and for just allowing us to be part of your life and you being part of our life. Amen. And some of you are going to go to India one of these days and maybe in Nepal. Who knows? We'll trek in the mountains or whatever. But it's a privilege and honor to be here tonight with Pastor Freddie. And actually, that's got to be my first church. That's my home church. That's where I go to church when I'm not traveling. We live outside of Bardstown. And then to have Pastor Andy. In the year 1991, Dolly and I had left the church I was pastoring in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, went to India. And we went there. We left in February. And later on that year, I was with some leaders in Delhi, India. And they were having a conference coming up, and they didn't have a speaker scheduled. And I said, well, I know somebody that might come. And they said, okay, you call him and contact him and see if he can come. So I contacted a fellow named Cletty Keith. And so in November, sometime there, the last of October, first part of November, Cletty Keith came to India. And when he came to India, they had a young man who really was just a driver. He picked up guests coming in at the airport. He drove them around wherever they needed to go. He took them shopping when they wanted to go shopping, and he just kind of looked after any guests that came through there in the ministry that was there, and just did whatever. He was a driver, and he hadn't been to Bible school at that time, and just a driver. But one night in that, during the time that Pastor Cletty was there, we were in a service, and Pastor Cletty pointed to that young man and said, "Come here." And he kind of ducked, thought he was must mean somebody else, and no, you come. And he called him to come up. Pastor Cletty laid hands on him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost right then. Amen. And God touched his life. And out of that, as a result of all that, God began to use him. God called him into the ministry. And God raised him up as a pastor. He's in a suburb of Delhi, India. It's only got 800,000 people in that suburb. It's a place called Noida, just outside of Delhi a little ways. And he's pastoring a church there and doing a great job for God. And that's Pastor Andy that is here tonight. He's a very, very close friend of ours. In 1994, Dolly and I were there when he got married. We've seen his children grow up. He has a son that's just graduated from high school, now is in college. He has two beautiful daughters and a lovely wife. And he helps us all the time when we come in and out of Delhi, and helps us with teams that are coming in, and helps us book hotels, and takes us places we need to go. And so we are just considered a very great honor to be with him tonight. And Pastor Freddie has been with him in India, and he's staying in Pastor Freddie's home right now. And so it's just a very great honor for us to be here with him. And he was here once before Shane became the pastor, and when you were in the other place, of course. And so I know some of you remember him, but I want you just to continue to make Pastor Andy welcome tonight as he comes to bring us the Word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry, for those kind words. Thank you, Pastor Shane, for sharing your pulpit tonight. Good evening. In India, it would be dark by now. But it's amazing. In America, every time I come, I come out at around about 8:30 in the evening, and there's still light. How many of you know that you are a blessed people? Not because we just have to say that, because by virtue of knowing Jesus as Lord, we are blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. So it's always a privilege to share from the Word of God, because the Word of God is precious. There are many things that will keep us for a period of time, but if we become men and women of the Word of God, it will keep us through eternity.
Yes.
Amen? So if tonight, I want to share a few things with you. How many of you came believing the impossible?
Yes.
Amen? Because if you're not here tonight believing God for the impossible, I'm sorry to say this, but you're wasting your time. You came out tonight, and there are some of us who need that impossible to happen and come impossible tonight. Amen. You cannot wait for it another day to happen. You cannot wait, maybe Sunday when we come, when all these places is full and everybody is here. You can't wait for that. How many of you can't wait?
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Why? Because God is in the process of doing things now. You had to be here, as Pastor Shane was saying. You had to be here. And if you are here, let me tell you something. If you came expecting, God will do it in your life.
Yeah.
Nothing happens in lives of people who never expect anything. You have to have an expectation. There has to be a desire in our hearts that when we get there, worship never begins when we come to church. It begins when we get up. Amen?
Yeah.
That is why people come to church sometimes and they wonder, the music was not right and they were not playing in the right keys. No, worship never begins when you get here. Worship begins when you get up in the morning. Early in the morning, David said, "Will I rise up and seek his face?" So tonight, I'm impressed in my heart. As we were driving, I was wondering, I said, it's called the preacher's itch. You wonder what you're going to say. And when you're with two great men of God, you wonder. So I was telling them on the way, I was telling Pastor Freddie, can I go and sit in the back so I can study? He said, yeah, go back and study. So we so studied. If you brought your Bibles with you, I want you to go to the book of Romans chapter 4.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 4. And before we read that, I'll read Matthew 19:26. It says, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Not a few things, but all things are possible. Now, I've always thought, what promoted Jesus to say such a thing? Why does he have to say such a thing? The answer is that he wanted to show all of us what we think can't be done is not a challenge to God.
Yeah.
Whatever you and I thing that cannot be done is not a challenge. Your circumstance and my circumstance is not an issue for God.
Amen.
Because he lives above circumstances.
Amen.
Okay, so I want you to know that he can do the impossible. In fact, God never does ordinary. Do you know that? God never does ordinary. He loves to do the impossible because that's when he gets the glory. Everything has to do with God's glory. When he gets the glory. So Romans 4:19 says some powerful things. I'm going to read. It's from verse number 19. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not on the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. Father, tonight, speak to us. Lord, your people have come not to hear a man, they want to hear you. And I pray tonight, oh God, Spirit of the living God, do what you want to do. I pray, Lord God, that we will be vessels in your hand of use. And I pray, Spirit of the living God, you are a miracle working God. You are the one who is going to do the impossible tonight in someone's life, oh God. And Lord, we thank you that you have made us part of that tonight. Receive all glory and honor and all praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Staggered not. Do you know God is an amazing God, the God that we serve? He can change the nature of an animal too. If you go to the book of 1 Samuel, I believe, in the 6th chapter, it says, God sent 2 wild cows to carry the ark of the Lord back to Israel and let them calves stay back. You can never separate the suckling from the cow. But God does that. He says, take the 2 cows, take them away, yeah, and let the little calves stay over there. He changes the nature. Then if you look, God changes physical law. God changes physical law. How do I know that? You remember God makes the iron head to float in the book of Kings? He takes the iron head and begins to float. God can do the impossible. We serve a God of impossibility. These are a few things that come to my mind as I read this text. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. That's a time to start. Moses started serving God when he was really 80. You know that? Because God is a God of impossibilities. If God says he will do something for you, he will do it. He will always do it. He always keeps his promises. I've never found in the entire scriptures, I've never met people who said, well, God made me a promise and never kept it. No, God never does that. But there are some things. How many of you are here to receive that? Okay, you want to receive tonight. So for you to receive that impossible thing, anybody in an impossible situation, impossible. I want you to think of that most impossible thing that you're going through, or maybe you know somebody's going through, and say, Lord, this is impossible. This preacher's come all the way from India. He's saying it's not possible, and so on and so forth. And people may be saying, but I want you to take a few minutes tonight and say, Lord, whatever is impossible in my life, I'm bringing it to you tonight. I'm going to bring it to you. You know, but some things that you have to do in order to receive from God. There are some things that God will always ask of us so that we can receive. The best example of this is seen in the life of Abraham. When God promised Abraham that Sarah would give birth to a son, Abraham had to ignore all natural circumstances. Natural circumstances. What are they? Having faith in God's promise. Amen. Having faith in God's promise and believe that God is more than able. Okay, our friends are able, our bosses are little more able, but our God is more than able to accomplish what concerns you and me. He is more than able. So he, in order to do that, he said he would do. Roman tells us there are 4 steps very quickly I want to give you. 4 things in Romans chapter 4. This passage makes one thing very clear. If you're going to receive from God, you have to do the same things that Abraham did. 4 things. Number 1, the Bible says he considered not. Look at verse 19. He says, he considered not. He doesn't take into account natural circumstances that told him it was impossible for Sarah to have a child. He did not let the circumstances influence his faith. Sometimes it is the circumstances that surround us that cause us to influence our faith. I'm not telling you to ignore natural circumstances. I'm not saying that. And God was not saying that either. You know, it's not that you have to ignore the natural circumstances and do something crazy. But I'm telling you that when you believe to receive the fulfillment of promise from God, you cannot concentrate on the natural circumstances. You cannot spend your time thinking, oh no, it's not going to happen. The doctor's saying this, they're saying that. There's so many people saying so many things. I read in the news maybe 3 weeks ago that a lady in China is now 114 years old. She does her own work herself. And we find it very easy to believe because the news tells us. But God says, if you want to receive the impossible, you got to believe what I am saying. Some of us have given our ears too much to what others are saying. But God said, I'm going to give you a son. God's saying, I'm going to bring that promise into your life. And we find it difficult. I want to challenge you. Don't consider the natural. You can't concentrate on your natural circumstances and then come to one side and say, well, God, let's see if you can. That word not doesn't appear in some manuscripts. I looked for it. So Abraham looked at the circumstances of his and Sarah's body through the eyes of strong faith. He looked through the circumstances through the eyes of his God. What was God saying? If it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what you're believing God for. You don't have to consider that is that which surrounds your particular situation. If you start thinking all about the natural, and you know what will happen? Oh, so-and-so said this. So-and-so was saying that. You will become weak in faith. The Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith. The word weak means to be feeble. It means to be diseased. It means to be sick. And a lot of people, forgive me for saying this, there are a lot of people in church who attend church, but our faith is a bit diseased. Sometimes. We can believe God to take care of the toenail. We can believe God to take care of that fever that comes once in a while. But if something big happens, no. This we have to go. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to go to the doctor, but I'm saying, have you consulted the great physician first? Amen. Thank God. Thank God for good doctors. Thank God for good health. But I believe with all my heart, our God is more than able. Yeah. If I had time, I would tell you that our son died on an operating table and God raised him up again. He died on the operating table. And God raised him up again. Today he's 18 years old. He's taller than me. And they say he's better looking than me. Brother Larry knows that. So does Pastor Freddy. Abraham's faith was so strong that he didn't consider the fact that both he and Sarah were beyond the age of having children. God promised him that he would have a son. And here's the beauty of the text. God told him, he didn't say, you know, you're going to have a child. He says, you're going to have a son. See how specific God gets? How specific he gets. He says, you're not going to have a child. Some of us are, Lord, it's okay. If you give me, it's okay. Whatever you give me, it's okay. Hannah also said, Hannah prayed different. She says, I want a son. Not somebody else. I want a son. You know what? She asked for a son. God gave him a prophet. Isn't that wonderful? God is looking for a womb in which he can put something. Are you those people tonight? He's looking for some people whom he can deposit that something that's so powerful. He says he considered not. God promised him that he would have a son, and Abraham did not even blink an eye. Considered not. He did not allow the obstacles that were in front of him from stop believing God. Secondly, the Bible says he staggered not. If you'll go back and read the story in Genesis chapter 18, I believe, you'll see that Sarah laughed. It is a laughing matter. You know, you're 90-something and the angel of the Lord comes and says, you know, you're going to have a son. In the natural, we will laugh. But you know what? God had the last laugh. God had the last laugh. He gave her a son. Sarah laughed at the whole idea of bearing a child at her age. Think about it. Common sense says, between the 90s and the 99s, common sense says, you should be sitting in a rocking chair. Common sense says that. 90-year-old woman not going to have children. But Abraham didn't say anything against it. When she laughed, if you read the text, he never said anything against it. In other words, he did not waver. He did not waver, but Abraham never doubted or questioned God's promise. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Everything he spoke, he will do it, and everything he has spoken about, he will bring it to pass. A person who staggers in faith will not receive anything from God. That's what my Bible tells me in the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Never receive anything from the Lord. I know people who have real faith, have read faith-inspiring books, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or listened to powerful sermons, or you know, and felt sky-high, strong. You know, when you're in a worship service, and that's wonderful, your faith is soaring. They'll make all the right confessions. You know, we've all done that. We've all done that. Made right confessions, keep concentrating on the word. But a few days later, we start to waver. You know why? Because let me tell you something. God's timing and my timing, no. The Bible says in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Yeah. There is a timing with God. David, you can be anointed at the age of 17, but your appointment will not come right then. It will take some time. Joseph may have been the one who was the chosen one, but it's going to take some time for that to happen. Why? God wants to work on my character. And while you are waiting, some people get upset and they get all worked up. You know what's God doing while we're waiting? He's working on my character. Amen. Character is very, very important. This world is very much concerned about reputation. But God is concerned about our character. Because if your character is strong, you can storm any you can go through any storm and you'll stand. That is why people going through a storm, if their character is strong, they will never curse the storm. They will never ever beat the rock. They will speak to the rock. They will speak to the rock. They did exactly. They began to consider the situation. Now, considering not and staggering not go hand in hand. You can't separate them. He considered not and he staggered not. They go hand in hand. If you separate, take one away, you're going to lose the whole thing. The enemy will try to get you to focus on your circumstances. All of us have something that we're facing. Circumstances. When you make a statement of faith, declaring what you believe in God for, the first thing he'll start doing is asking you questions and sow seeds of doubt. For example, have you considered this? Have you considered this? I was listening, you know, you're signing up, new members class. You sign up for that. Have you considered that you'll come for late from work? You can take a little rest. You come to be part of the prayer team in the church. Have you considered only one day in a week you get take rest? Pastor Shane keeps calling us for prayer. What's wrong? Have you considered this? You know, have you noticed that when you start doing something for God, it's a little thing, he will bring doubt. He will bring doubt. Have you thought about that? Do you know what you're believing for goes against what's happening in the world? You know, you're trying to live for God in your office and you know, they'll say, you know, be cool. What they say these days? Chill out. Chill out. The enemy may ask, why hasn't God answered you as yet? Have you been in that place where you've been praying and this thing comes to your mind? It's been so long. The people right next to you, all their prayers are getting answered, but it's not happening to you. Don't give up. Amen. You're on the brink of a miracle. You know, when you come very... See, the pain is the greatest when you are... The pain is a sign that you're about to give birth to something. Pain is a sign. So when the pain reaches its crescendo, be ready to give birth to something. And most of the time, we quit right then and say, well, I don't know. And you will notice that whenever you go through a season of pain... And whenever you go through a season that is a little, going a little extra, going a little more, get ready because God wants to do the impossible through you. Amen. If God would, the enemy may ask, why hasn't God answered? If God were going to answer you, he would have already done it. In the Garden of Eden, the enemy came to Eve and said, well, God said such and such. Have you thought about this? If the enemy can get you to consider everything around you, he can get you to stagger and forfeit the promise of God. Yeah. If he can get you to look at things around you, if he can get you to look at things, then we will stop and consider. And we'll begin to look and we'll begin to stagger. Are the circumstances real? Yes. But I want you to know, as you recognize that the circumstances are real, you also have to recognize that a miracle is on the way. Yeah. Many times we only recognize that the problem is real. But I want you to know, when you look through the eyes of faith, the miracle is on the way.
Yeah.
Why are miracles not happening? Because we're not expecting them to happen. We're not expecting them to happen. You had to acknowledge we were a sinner, we were in need of a Savior before we could ever get saved. Well, the same way you have to acknowledge you have a healer before you can get healed. You had to acknowledge that. In other words, you have to acknowledge the facts, but you don't have to dwell on the facts. Abraham acknowledged the fact that he was almost 100 years old. He knew the condition of his body, but he refused to consider those things and choose instead to consider what God has said. Do you know what the Father in heaven is saying about you and me? Do you know? Some of us, sometimes we're very much concentrated upon what others are saying. Who has your ears? Who are you listening to these days? What is on your mind? Have you become obstacle-minded or have you become opportunity-minded? That's the question, friends, tonight. Abraham considered not. He staggered not. Thirdly, what did he do very quickly? He gave glory to God.
Amen.
Worship will move you into the realm that you have never walked in before. Praise of the living God will move you in a place where you can leave all this stuff behind. Why? Because now he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And he gave glory to God. Romans chapter 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief.
Amen.
Underline that in your Bible if you have it. Through unbelief. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. When you are strengthened in your faith, you give glory to God, not to man. You give glory to God. And when God gets lifted up, what does he do? He begins to draw.
Yeah.
When God gets lifted up, when you celebrate the victory of the cross, God begins to draw. God begins to draw. I will make your enemies even to live at peace with you. How does that happen? When you become a worshiper of the living God. When you say, you know, David said, Lord, now mine head has been lifted up. It did not mean that his problems were gone. It did not mean that people were had stopped throwing stones at him. But what did he say? I have a higher perspective. It's having a higher perspective. Let all the haters make the haterade. You don't worry. You don't worry about them. You don't have time for that. Why? Because what God wants to accomplish through you will never be accomplished if you keep looking at everybody who doesn't like you.
Amen.
You can't waste your time. You can't waste your time. There is something of significance that God wants to do through the church. He didn't bring you this far to let you go.
Yes.
Greater things are still to come.
Yes.
Greater things are yet to be done in this city.
Yes.
Amen. That is the theme of our church. We sing that song every day, believing God. Greater things are yet to come. Amen? Greater things are yet to come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that he has in store for us. Why? Because God is still on the throne. Abraham gave him glory. Abraham gave glory to God for the blessings even before it ever happened. That's the key. That's the key. You have to believe God and thank him for the answer when you pray. Being anxious for nothing. Philippians chapter 4 says, but in everything, everybody say in everything,
everything.
In prayer. And supplication. And thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let your requests be known to Pastor Shane. Oh, Brother Larry, Pastor Freddie, let your requests be known to God Almighty.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something, as good as we all are to one another, someday or the other, we get tired. And we get upset and we say, you know, cell phones these days, it's a great way. You know, if I call you and you don't like talk to me, you see my name and you can. Back in those days when we had the phone, oh no. Now your name shows, your number shows if people don't want to talk to you. But you know what? God Almighty is not like this. That is why with being anxious for nothing, but in everything. But in everything, not a few things, but in everything with prayer, supplication, let your request be known to God. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. People send text to the pastor, a long text. This has happened. If you take that much time in telling your God, the healing would be complete. What do you say? It's a good deal. Please don't misunderstand. Please send text to your pastor. It is good to tell people to pray. But before you do that, have you gone to the throne?
Yeah.
before you went to the phone? Many people go to the phone instantly. And let me tell you, people will get tired. People will not go all the way. If you're going to look to man, you'll only get what a man can give. But when you look to God, there is no limit as to what God will do with our lives. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank Him for the answers. You can't wait till you get your answers to praise God for it. You can't wait. I can't wait. Today you may be facing a situation. You may be facing an obstacle. You need to recognize the fact exists. Please don't forget that. Don't consider them. So what do we consider? We consider what God says. I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll go before you. My presence will go before you. He says, Moses, come on, get up from this place and go to Pharaoh and tell him, Lord, what will happen? Don't worry, nothing's going to happen. My presence will go before you. Yeah. By the 33rd chapter, he has learned, and he goes before God. He says, God, if you're sending me, and if your presence doesn't go before me, don't send me. You have called me to lead all these people, and you're saying all these wonderful things, but your presence must go before me. Too many people are trying to receive from God, but they don't know his word for themselves. Someone told them what God said, or sometimes we heard a testimony of how God's word delivered somebody else. But let me tell you tonight, that is not good enough. You cannot live off someone else's oil. You got to get your own oil. Some people live on a borrowed anointing. Some people live on borrowed oil. But let me tell you something, that oil is going to run out one day. And the people will also run out one day. Because if you're dependent on people, you'll get what people can give, leftovers. Do you know what God wants to give? The whole bread, and we love the crumbs. Yeah. Crumbs for a marriage, crumbs for a partner, crumbs for a job, everything. And God says, I want to give you the bread. He is laying at banqueting table, but we are so fond of fast food that we cannot digest that which he is laying before us. If you're going to consider what God said, you're going to have to know his word for yourself. Everybody say the word. You got to know the word for yourself. It's one thing to say, I think so, or I heard so, but it's something to say, I know so. Amen. I know, Paul says, in whom I have believed, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him this day. Yeah. I know whom I have believed in. Do you know who you have believed in? Or sometimes is it a figment of our imagination? Or we heard somebody say, or we heard a great sermon preached. Dear people of God, I know when you say I know, that means you're persuaded beyond a shadow of doubt. Amen. Fourthly and finally, and then I'll close, being fully persuaded. Considered not, staggered not, giving glory unto God. And then finally, he says, he was fully persuaded, strong in faith, so he doesn't consider the circumstances, doesn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, wavered not, because he was fully persuaded. You see, our position is to consider not, like I said. That's our responsibility. But do you know it is God's responsibility equally too? We don't have to try to figure out how he's going to do it. Here's our problem. We want to tell God how to deliver us. We want to sometimes, you know, be some of us the best advisors God has. God never does anything without consulting me. If I say, you know, don't do this, so he will not do it. You don't have to figure out how he's going to provide for you. How do I know that? Matthew tells me, don't worry for anything. He knows the sparrow, the hair on my head is numbered. He knows everything. He's saying, don't try to figure out how I'm going to do it, because if God said it, he will do it. Yeah. Elijah, get up from this place and go to the brook. Leave this place, go to Zarephath. Elijah doesn't say, why should I go to Zarephath? He just goes to Zarephath. I have commanded the rich woman in the town to feed you. No. I have commanded a widow to take care of you. And what kind of a widow is going to take care of him? The one who is going to have her last meal. And you get the greedy prophet going there and saying, give your last meal to me. Have you noticed that? She says, as long as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have anything except this one cake, which I'm going to take and I'm going to give to my son, and then we're going to die. He says, no, don't, you're not going to die. Bring it here. If you give your last to God, he will make it your first. Amen? He will make it your first. What does he do? Why? Because fully persuaded, convinced he's going to do it, because if he said it, he will do it. God will never send you to a place where his grace and mercy will not keep you. He will never do it. I was young and I'm old, yet I never seen the righteous begging or the children asking for bread. They are ever generous. Everybody say generous. Generous people are the most blessed people. You know that? When you become generous in your spirit, you know what? God can use you. Many people, you know, in my church also, when I say, how many of you want to be used by God? Everybody raised their hand. Everywhere. But you know what? God can use generous people in a manner that you never thought. And generous people doesn't mean you have tons of money. It means that your heart is overflowing with God's gratefulness. And once your heart is overflowing with gratefulness, you will do beyond that. Above and beyond. Above and beyond. And so, remember when the Apostle Paul was on the ship bound for Rome? The wind and the waves tossed back and forth so violently that the men on board the ship gave up all hope of being saved in the book of Acts. After several days, Paul encourages them with a message, and he says that the angel of the Lord, Acts 27:25, I believe. He said, therefore, take heart, men. That's what he says in 27:25. He says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God, and that will happen just as he told me. Paul was fully persuaded that God will do what he has said. There are some of you that God gave you a word maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's not happened. Hold on. He saved the best for the last. The enemy will tell you the score in the middle. Okay? The enemy will keep telling you the score in the middle, but God will tell it at the very end. You know, your life and my life, this is not a 100-meter sprint. The Christian life is not a 100-meter sprint. It is a marathon. And you cannot sprint the marathon. It's a race of endurance. It's a race of endurance. And everyone is called to race in this. It's possible that the ship would go down during the violent storm without someone dying. But that's what happened. If God says he will do something for you, he will do it. If you stay steady and not waver. You may feel if you're in the middle of the storm. And I know some of us are in the middle of the storm. And your ship is about to go under. I want to tell you, your ship will not go under. Why? Because you've invited him on your ship. Amen. Yes. And if God be for me, who could be against me? Yes. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let everyone make their noise. Let everyone shout. Let every doubt keep shouting. If God be for me, who can be against me? And you know what? Keep believing the Lord. Are you persuaded tonight? Are you persuaded tonight that he will deliver you? He may have to give you a new ship. Don't worry. Some of us are worried that the ship is going to break, it's going to fall. Don't worry. He'll give you a new ship if he has to. But the promise is, I will keep you. The God of impossibilities we serve. Tonight as we bow our heads, how many of you would like to be having have a faith like Abraham was, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he will perform it. I believe whatever he has promised, never worry about time. He's a God of excellent timing. He's never before, he's never late. He's an on-time God. He is able to perform. We have to believe that whatever he said, he is going to bring it to pass. What is it that you need from God? Refuse to consider the circumstances. I believe there are some of us here tonight, and if you need prayer, I want you to stand wherever you are. And I want to say this to you. What is it that you need from God? Refuse to consider the circumstances. Don't stagger on the promise of God through unbelief. Because those who are fully persuaded that forever God has promised, he is able to do. If he can cause a wild cow to leave its calf, and if he can cause an iron axe head to float, and a 100-year-old woman to give a child, can you imagine what God can do with what you need? What is it you need tonight? We serve a God of impossibilities. Never ever wavered. Abraham said he considered not. Some of you are considering too much what the situation is saying. And I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. Keep up your courage. If God said he's going to do something for you, I don't care how many years ago he said it. He will do it if you stand steady and do not waver. You may feel you're in the middle of a storm and your ship is about to go under. But I want to encourage you tonight, keep believing. He will deliver you. He may have to give you a new ship, but he will deliver you. Hallelujah. 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 Not to embarrass anybody tonight, but I sense in my heart that if you will just by faith say, Lord, some of you have been reminded of the promise. Maybe because of the circumstance, you know, it was so overwhelming that you forgot. I want you to know tonight, our God is able. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. He's great and greatly to be praised. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give my heart. Come on, lift him up tonight. Say, Lord, your praise is so much more important than my situation. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Everybody stand tonight. Let's sing this, Mark.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, Lord, I give you praise. All that I adore is in my heart, give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way in me.
Just continue to play, Mark. You know, it's funny that Pastor Andy spoke on this tonight, because I was telling somebody today, and this is what I really felt in my spirit. We're going to pray in just a second as a church. I told God, I've been telling God as a pastor, I said, God, I don't want to just exist as a church. God, I want to have purpose in all that we do. I want to have life. And when I was a little boy, for the first 6 years of my life, I lived with my mother, who was, some of you know, I've shared our testimony. You know, my mother worked in bars, and she was a dancer, and most of my nights were spent sometimes in the back room of a bar where I slept on a bench, and I went to school from the bar. And I had to learn to survive because I just existed. And so when I was hungry, I'd go steal. So I'd go to the grocery store and I'd steal little peewee pizzas, and I'd put them in my shirt or my breeches, and I'd leave the grocery store and go home. That's how I had to eat, because I just existed. Neighbors would come home with groceries and their trunks would be open, and I'd go steal the grapes or the bananas or steal the loaf of bread or the peanut butter or the cookies or what was in the back of the car, and I would run, because my whole life was about existing. And so it was a mindset in my life. And so when I was 7 years old and God brought a stepmother into my life and my father got custody of us and brought me into a home that became more stable, I remember one day I left and snuck into the neighbor's house and stole something to eat and got caught. And I remember what my stepmother said to me. She said, look, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that anymore, because you live in your dad's house now. We don't just exist. And so my mindset had to change in my life, from just existing to living. And there are churches that just exist. You know what I'm saying? They just exist. They live off religion. They live off just what used to be, or what, you know. And I just really sensed that tonight. I just really sensed this was an incredible word tonight about the impossibility and the difference between churches that exist and churches that have life and purpose, is that churches that have life and purpose allow the impossibility to be done in the midst of the church. All that we would be a church that God could do the impossibility. Oh, that we would stagger not at the promises of God over us. Oh, that we would waver not at what He speaks over us. Oh, that we would give Him the glory for it. Oh, that we would trust God for it. And as Pastor Andy was speaking, that just became heavy on me. Lord, I don't want to just exist. I don't want to exist. There's too many other churches just existing. Let us be a fellowship that has life, that lives the gospel, that lives the word of God, that God can heal people in our midst. He can change lives in our midst, put marriages back together, put broken lives back together, give hope where there's not been hope in the lives of people. Not be a church of just menial religious activity, but a church of impossibility.
Yes, Lord.
Ha-ha. And here's what I want us to do tonight. If you just stretch across the aisle, or just to your neighbor, and just hold hands, join hands together, and let us just agree tonight. Yes, Ray. Come on. Come on up here. Hallelujah. I know it's Thursday night. God moves on Thursday nights.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I believe.
believe that we had a word tonight from the Lord. And the word is that Abraham and Sarah had a divine appointment. And this evening we received a divine appointment. I came to church tonight expecting, and I received. We had a divine appointment. God has a plan, and He's put it in motion. Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ray, for being obedient. Hallelujah. We're going to pray tonight that God moves us from the place of existence to the place of purpose, to the place of impossibility, to the place of hope, to the place that God, I don't want to be where we are now in 10 years. I don't want to be where we are next year, where we are now. I want God to promote us. I want God to move us. I want God to let us graduate into greater purposes and move on and be able to reach people we never thought we'd be able to reach. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor Andy to come. If he would just come and just pray over our congregation. And just pray that impossibility, Pastor. Just pray that we would move from existence to the place of miracles, to the place of the supernatural. And just pray what you preach tonight over this congregation. And we're going to receive it, and we're going to digest it, and we're going to activate that thing in us tonight. The very thing that you preach today. Would you pray over our church?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, let's give a few moments and lift up our voices unto the Lord. Thank Him for what He is about to do. Yes. Thank Him in anticipation, greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Greater things He has brought you thus far, not to leave you. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him praise. You can't wait for it to come, and then you'll praise Him. You praise Him even now. You praise Him even now. You praise Him through your storms, and you will see the grace to overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, tonight we thank You that You are a loving God. You are my heavenly Father. You are the one who called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, Lord. You brought us thus far, Lord, to show us, oh God. Tonight, Lord, You have given us just a little bit of a glimpse, and You said, if I can find a people and if I can find a man and a woman, that's all it takes. But here we are more than a man and a woman, Lord. We're a group of people who are hungry for Your presence. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Yes, because, Lord, we're not asking for stuff. We're not asking for things. Yes, we're asking, Lord, that we will be seekers of Your presence, yes. Oh God. Lord, we don't want the blessing. We want the favor of God. Oh God, I pray tonight over this congregation, oh God. Greater things to come, Lord. Greater things to come, Lord. Greater things to come, oh God. I pray, Lord God, healing to flow like a river, Lord. No wonder they are called River Valley, Lord. Let the river of God flow in this place, oh God. Lord, to wash away, Lord, to cleanse, to heal, to bring about a healing, to be a healing to this community, oh Father God. To be a healing of this community, and not just to exist, but to live. But to live. David said, I will not die. I will live to proclaim the glory of the living God. I will proclaim. Let this church be a lighthouse, O God. A lighthouse, O God. I pray the doors will always be open, O God. I pray, Lord God, Lord, this will be a dwelling place of Your glory, O God. Lord, settle heavy in this house, I pray. Settle heavy in this house, O God. I pray that we will become entertainers of Your presence, O God. We will not entertain people, O God. We'll entertain Your presence, O Father God. We'll entertain Your presence, O God. Miracle working God, signs and wonders, O God. Right here from this congregation, O God. Right here through this people, O God. Through the servant of God, O God. I pray, O God, and I speak, Lord, Your peace over this congregation, O God. Daniel tells us that the people who know their God shall do exploits for Him. Exploits right here in this congregation, oh God. Lord, the impossible, oh God. They never thought of it. They never dreamt of it, oh God. I pray and speak it over this congregation. Let it be a place of refuge. Let it be a place of refuge, oh God. Let it be a place of healing, oh God. Oh, let the healing waters flow, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, of all the hurt of the past will be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, with newness and newness of heart and newness of mind, oh God. I thank You and I praise You, Lord. I pray for Pastor Shane and his wife and his family. I pray, Lord, You are the one who puts men and women. Lord, we could never have been here by ourselves. He could have never been here by His own, but You brought him, oh God. And that which You bring, You know how to keep, oh God. I pray, Lord God, that he will be encouraged, oh God. Lord, I pray that the congregation will strengthen his hands, oh God, to do greater things, to do greater things, sir. Oh, Lord God, we have not even scratched the surface of what you're going to do, oh God. Oh, Lord God, oh, Lord God, oh, Lord God, Rikabasi and Deroloboshande. Oh, lift up your hands and give him praise tonight for in anticipation, greater things are yet to come, greater things, oh God, over everyone, oh God, new things, oh Father God. We never thought of it, Lord God. We never dreamt of it, oh God. But you said, I'm going to do it in your midst. Where are the willing ones? Where are the willing ones? How many will say, Lord, do it through me? Do it through me, Lord. Do it through me, oh God. I speak it over your people tonight, oh God. I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for what you have started something tonight. And he who started a good work, you will bring it to completion, oh God. And we give you the praise. We give you the praise for all things are possible. We're not considering what we don't have. We're considering that we have you. Dear people of God, remember, greater things happen with that first step of faith. We bless you tonight. We give you praise for what you have done. And we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the mercy of God. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for the incredible word that you gave us tonight. Father, may we apply it, God. May we not stagger at the promises of God that you have for River Valley Community Church. May we believe the impossibility. And Father, we thank you, God. Watch over your people. Protect us. Watch us as we go home. And Father, begin to stir in us. Begin to stir in us the very purpose that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.